Yo, welcome, people, to one more episode in the Eyes of Grieving Mothers.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to the Eyes of Grieving Mothers. Good grief, good grief. We got Anthony on with us today. He's going to share some of his story and his journey, his grief journey. But I want to give this brief disclosure. We are not here to re-traumatize anyone. This podcast is for education and awareness purposes only. And I just want to highlight what grief is. Grief is an overwhelming emotional response to the loss of a loved one, a relationship, or anything that has great emotional significance, like the loss of a job, separation of family members, separation of children, moving to a new city. There is no specific time frame associated with grief. Even though grief has universal emotions, each person experiences grief in their own individual way. So, again, we got Anthony on with us tonight. I mean, today. And this podcast is also hosted, co-hosted by myself and Suave.
Gonzalez with a Z, not an S.
Gonzalez with a Z. Yeah.
We in the house. I mean, seriously, before we get into it, right? Yo, if you thought episode 3 was dope, this is fire.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, people. On Spotify, Apple, iHeart, and anywhere you get your podcasts, tune in. Truth Crime, True Story Network. Subscribe and like. So like that, when we drop an episode, you don't have to keep asking me when it's coming out. You get notification. Go ahead, Tanisha.
All right. So first, I want to start off by saying, Anthony, thank you so much for being on our fourth episode of In the Eyes of Grieving Mothers. When I heard your story, I asked, you know, I was so overwhelmed with how you was able to navigate through everything that you went through with your grief, you know, your childhood experiences. So as we like to start off, because when we go into a therapy session, they always lay the chair back and say, let's go back to when you were a child.
Ooh,
all right, because I
don't want to go back to when I was a child.
Yeah, but that's what they, listen, addressing childhood trauma. That's
I know, where it starts. But you know what's scary about that? That for some people, right, like especially a man, like me, there's a lot of stuff in my childhood and that I suffer that I would never talk about.
Right.
Well, you're going ahead today.
And so when people say, let's go back to your childhood, I don't got a childhood. I grew up in the hood, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's the culture that we grew up in.
Right.
Where you don't speak about certain things that happen in the household,
right.
Certain things that we experience, we keep that in the back of our mind, we forget about them, because it's like a survival skill too,
right?
So I'm very excited when I heard you was coming on the show, because maybe it will give me a little courage,
to
speak about my childhood.
Right.
Cause I had a fucked up childhood. Ooh, erase that.
Childhood. That's what you said.
I had a messed up childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, from and I say something before you get there, Anthony. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, and I was telling the brothers here yesterday. My mom asked me when I was 13, "What did you want for your birthday?"
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the South Bronx, Hut's Point. Anybody that know anything about the South Bronx and Hut's Point know that Hut's Point was like the number one hot spot in New York City for prostitutions and everything else. And my words was, "Mom, you know, I don't want a prostitute, you know." And that's what I want for my birthday, right? At 13. And my mom, you know, she thought she was doing something cool. She, okay, cool. Gonna make that happen for you. But what that did in my life was created a pattern that everyone after that wanted to compare, and I couldn't.
I can dig it.
And it created problems in relationship as I got older, because I'm always looking for that excitement, and it's like, you know, and I never talked about it. I never went to therapy about it. You know, then right after that, I witnessed my grandfather get killed while giving me a haircut. I buried that in the back of my head, like, man, I ain't, you know, man ain't supposed to cry. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm here, adult, and I'm like, huh? I got to listen to this, go back to my childhood. It's right, like, it's right, like, right. It's like reliving it, but at the same time, I'm excited you're here.
Right.
I can't wait to share your story with the world,
because
maybe we could break that wall that man got up, that we ain't supposed to share certain things.
Right.
Because no matter what it said or shared, it don't make you less or more than a man. It make you human.
Right.
So, bro, welcome to the show.
All right. I wanted, let me rebuttal on something you said. First of all, before I get into my story, I truly want to highly salute these three young brothers who really gave me the capacity to really not even be ashamed of my past, but have more oomph about what I came from, what my journey was, and who I am today. It was really truly through the grace of God, because I know now that sometimes our mess can become a message. I heard through each one of these young brothers. Matter of fact, let me just say this real quick. I ain't trying to promote nothing, but the mayor of Philadelphia should really listen to these last three broadcast podcasts, because there are hope for our youth. They are very more intelligent than we are. The only difference between the old head and the young boy now is that we still ride on principles. So when we give that principle and pour that into the youth with their intelligence, we have let me say this first of all. I'm pro Philadelphia. You know what I mean? I know you from New York. I love Philadelphia. We got counties, Chester, Camden, but I am a pro Philadelphian. I'm for Philadelphia and the black youth. They are not to be overlooked anymore. They just express some of the trauma they went through better than some of the grown people my age can. It's just that I went through so much pain that, you know, to not talk about it would really be giving a disservice to the God of my understanding. I'm the oldest out of three. I can truly say the way I was taught was a man is not supposed to cry.
Wow.
You know, that type of thing. What we do inside of this house stays inside of this house, which I don't have nothing against. And parents, if that's what you're promoting, remember that you still got to regroup, come back to some of those situations that we call, let's don't talk about it right now. If you don't revisit it, then you're going to have some situations where it's hard for children to accept rejection, which lead to gunplay. Like, I dare you to say that to me. We don't wanna, if you're gonna promote that, right? It's no perfect blueprint for being a parent. But if you're promoting that, then revisit that particular incident so that they'll have better coping skills. These young boys are writing music, and I'm so glad that me and him come from the hip-hop area. Let me just say this, and I don't want to bounce around.
Absolutely.
I don't want to bounce around, but I need to go to that point. Hip-hop was a form of how we expressed ourselves in a happy form. We wasn't talking about no shooting, bang, bang. You know what I mean? Your sneakers stayed clean. You got your hair cut. You met your girl. You know, you learned how to take rejection because you wasn't always going to get picked. But it was so many of them there, it helped build your self-esteem. If we're going to, I'm going back to that, to those secrets inside of our household. It don't matter if you're black, Latino, it don't matter.
I think everybody household was
Puerto Ricans all black. Right. I say it. I said it.
But I want to thank Tanisha, man, because this, and you too, brother, because what live away to have somebody back up, a queen who has suffered and is not afraid to get in the forefront on some topics that need to be discussed and have a New Yorker who can keep the charisma.
Correction, bro. I'm from North Philly, bro. I've been in Philly 40 years, bro.
I can tell that. Oh, I can tell 40
years, bro.
But I can hear the New York.
Man. One city, Philly. I'm here. I'm with y'all.
But nevertheless, what a perfect mixture. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I said that to say that because I want to just tap on me. This was grieving mothers. I'm a grieving father. The only grief that I truly have is that I taught my son to be loyal to any and everything. If it's your boy, you stick with him, ride or die. I was taught that mess, not knowing that loyalty means something different. He was loyal to a cat that was in the street. I taught him that regardless of what you do, that's your boy, let it be your boy. Call, pull up. They after his boy, they shoot my son once, shoot him 5-10 times. The other guy lived, my son died. Now I'm at a point, right, and this was a turning point in my life because I heard them young bulls talk about some stuff, man, and I'm glad the God of my understanding didn't let me make no rational decisions. I'm not going to say I was built like them. My mind was, you know what I mean? I drunk that tailor's pork, whatever. But that pain wouldn't go away. And I knew that the only thing I could do with that pain, because I've always been a fighter. Tone, you got to become a better version of yourself now, because this pain ain't going to go nowhere, cuz. And you ain't going to be able to smoke too many L's. You ain't going to be able to keep chasing women. That pain is not going to go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So how I dealt with it was I kind of let myself off the hook, because that resentment that I had towards myself was, why didn't I tell him, you don't be loyal to this type of dude? You don't ride with him. You don't do that. My son never did drugs, never did nothing. You know what I mean? Then I had some people in the hood, Tanisha, this was the turning point, because me and you are part of something else that's separate from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No matter what.
Right.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Peace, love, and respect.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make a change, man, in like getting back to the journey, and I really want to express this over the air. It don't matter. I heard her describe grief. I escaped through the grace of God, man, because I could have made some rational decisions, man, that I could have been down for the rest of my life.
Well, let me say something to you, bro. Let me say something to you, right? I was brought up with that same loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty took me to prison at the age of 16 with a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to die in prison.
Mm-hmm.
That's what life means in PA.
Mm-hmm.
Because I refuse to tell on a cat that told on me.
Another one.
Right? Told on me, so I sucked it up. You know, I was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Got caught, you keep your mouth shut. This guy told on me, I end up serving life.
Mm.
10 to 20. Mm. 5.5 to 10, 1.5 to 2.
Wow. Mm.
I served 31 and a half years and 85 days in prison. I come home.
Mm-hmm.
The same dude that I was loyal to, I bumped into him. He didn't even know who I was.
Mm.
At the gas station, front of Lehigh, he asked me for $1.
Mm.
And in my mind, at that moment, I decided, like, it ain't even worth. Because I had shit in my mind that I said, if I ever catch this dude,
he's
got something else coming.
I
came home angry.
Right.
I came home, I like, you got to pay for this.
Right.
But then I realized this dude had a worse life than me.
Yeah.
And I was locked up.
Yeah.
Even to this day, when I see him.
Yeah.
You know, that little guy in my head want me to tell him, like, yo, you remember me?
Right.
But then I just look at him, he's like, it's not even worth it.
Right.
It's not even worth it. And what I'm saying to the streets, what I'm saying to these young people, right, there is no such thing as loyalty.
That's right.
There is no such thing. You know why? Because when you get caught and you sitting in that courtroom, that same person that you are protecting is pointing that finger from that witness stand. Mm-hmm. He or she did it, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if he don't do that, that same person that you protecting, when you get upstate, yeah, and you make that phone call, this is a collect call from Securus, will you accept? Mm. And you hear that deep word, hello, can I speak to Bianca? Bianca's not here. Who's this? What's up, homie? Thank you, doing it in my house.
Yeah.
Do I got to say more?
Yeah.
That's real facts, people. Yeah. So when you speak about loyalty, I get it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I get it on all levels, bro.
Yeah.
On all levels.
Yeah.
And I commend you, bro, because a lot of the time, bro, a lot of the times when somebody take your loved ones, bro,
yeah,
it's hurtful.
Yeah.
It's hurtful. I was just telling her, my grandfather was killed when I was 12, giving me a haircut.
Mm.
And that's probably the reason I don't like sitting in certain barbershops.
Right.
With my back to, I need to see the door. Yeah. Need to see the door, right?
Right.
And I tell people, I live with that trauma for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For years. And I tell you, when I was shipped to the federal prison, I bumped into the guy that killed my grandfather.
Mm.
And it was only through the grace of God that that guy didn't die.
Yeah.
Because I did try, I tried to stab him like 13 times.
Yeah.
He didn't die.
Yeah, yeah. And here's another thing that I learned.
Hold on. And I'm not promoting violence. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we're not retaliating.
This is what happens when you live with that trauma and you don't know how to deal with it.
Unaddressed trauma.
When you release it, it could be released in the wrong way.
Right.
And that's why I'm sharing that. Like, I tell people, like, yo, right now, there is no loyalty. The only loyalty that you should be to your family.
Right. And doing that's it. The what? Right thing. You understand? Like the young boys, like he was talking about.
On the previous episode.
How hard it is to do the wrong thing. But this is another side that I quickly want to get into.
Well, before you get in there, because you set a mouthful. First, I want to say thank you for sharing that. That's first. So you spoke about like retaliating. You spoke about anger. But you also spoke about something that I think that a lot of children can relate to and a lot of people can relate to now. We're dealing with a generation that is loyal or committed to doctrines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they live by it. I got two friends, two brothers right now that's serving life sentences.
Mm.
And I said to them, I'm like, well, why didn't y'all like, you know, like when, if they got y'all first, if y'all was arrested first, like, why didn't y'all tell?
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm at today. Like, I ain't going to jail for you. Like, if you we get pulled over, and, you know, you giving me a ride and you got illegal,
you
better take it.
But
I had to, it took me a long time. I have 10 years clean. So, and in that process, I had to do a lot of trainings and I got with a lot of people to help guide me. I had to unlearn what was taught to me in my household.
Right.
But yeah, so they sitting down, you know, and it's like because I was loyal, like they was that was our friends.
Right.
But them friends took them deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you really got to know like who you being loyal to, and not only that, looking at the fact that we really have to unlearn, and we have to learn how to communicate with our children. Communication is key. You know, even in my household being raised up, I remember my mom, and I shared this with you, that, you know, in our household, it was what goes on in here stays on in here, you know, and I inherited that. Like, I took pride to that because why? It was coming from my mother. It was coming from someone that I respected, someone that I knew that would guide me in the right direction. And I'm pretty sure she said that to me not out of harm. Also, I remember and I recall times when it was like, stop telling all the time. So, all right. So now I got to keep everything in the household, and I can't even tell on somebody when they do something wrong to me because I'm being told I'm being a snitch.
Right.
You know? So, and now I'm taking all these doctrines and all these skill sets, and I'm growing up with them, and I'm feeding them. Because in our childhood, I grew up in Chester. I grew up in a development in Chester, whereas though it's a income-based development. There was a lot of drug activity going on around that time. You know, it was, I don't remember gangs, but I remember, you know, you had a lot of like drug activities. It was shootings going on. So when I started hanging out in the streets and I got into my teenage years, I really wasn't a person that hung around women a lot. I was always clung to the guys. I think that played a part too, as me being raised in a household where, though, my mom and dad started off together, but then there was some family issues which led to my dad separating, or them two separating, and then it was just mom, and it was just her with, you know, with her significant others that she clinged to, right. Around that time. One of them was one which I call my stepfather to this day. He suffered with substance use. But we didn't understand it at the time. We didn't understand, like, he would take our clothes. Like, he would steal stuff around Christmas time, steal the towels. And my mom would just keep taking them back, keep taking them. It's like, yo, like. And that's the first time we ever went into a prison system, because she would go visit him when he got locked up. But everything that we experienced, everything that I experienced as a child, I took all that and I like, inherited that, and I lived by that. You know, even with my son in that car accident, I was like, yo, like, you don't tell. Like, when these people pull up, like, you tell them, like, listen, I don't know who was driving that car. And I was teaching him how to lie. Mm-hmm. Right? I was teaching him how, if something impacts you to a certain magnitude that causes an emotion so devastating, like grief, you know, whereas though you want to just say something and relieve yourself, you better not. Because it could cause me, my life, it could affect everybody around you, and not even thinking about the emotional disparities that it was causing on my child. Mm-hmm. Now, well, as we talk about grief and being raised up in a household, mm-hmm. how was that for you? What was it like being raised in your childhood? From you going from a young child, 7, 8, to a teenager, until you getting into the streets? Like, how was that?
For me, right, and I must say this, like, I always wanted my mother and father to be together. And back then, you know, in the black community, my father worked, my mother, you know, she kept us in church, you know, did the best she could. And I seen where it was a financial impact. My father was more so into recreation. He did a lot of good things, but he wasn't spending a lot of time with us. So I was pro-mom. And when they separated, it did something devastating to me. I heard you say, you asked your mother, what did you want for your birthday?
Absolutely.
Right? Now, my mom, right, when my father and her separated, her thing was, I'm going to turn you into a man. Now, let me say this to you, sisters, right? You can help develop a man, but you can't make a man. You can't. There's certain things only men can do for men. Mm-hmm. So listen, my mother, right, I asked her, I said, Mom, I want some box of underwears for my birthday. She got me a rake, right, which was embarrassing to me, but I understood her mindset. I started raking yards at a young age. Then I started making more money than anybody in the hood. So then I understood, like, damn, she trying to force me to be a man and this and this and that and that and that. So I never really had a childhood because I was molested at a young age. Some things went on that I protected my little brothers from. So I was parentified at a young age, at a very young age. And then I felt like I wanted to be grown. You know how we want to get grown quick, but then when you get grown, you want to go back to being a child.
I still want to be a child,
you know. So I kind of speeded up my childhood. It wasn't bad. But there were some things missing, like what you have helped me with, learning how to control my emotions.
Who have helped you with?
I mean, well, we have talked about controlling your
Tanisha,
on how to control my emotions. Like, I'm a high strong person. It came from when I was young. You know what I mean? If I wanted something, you know what I mean? I knew how to. This was a bad habit that I had. I wasn't a spoiled brat, but I knew how to antagonize you enough to get my point across. Because I didn't have that man figure there to say, listen, everything ain't gonna go your way.
Yeah.
You can't have everything you want. I don't care, you a child, sit in the child place. So therefore, my childhood, I try my best to grab what the best out of it that I can. I hope that answered your question. But
now, can I just say something to you? Because mm-hmm. you just said something that was really important. As trying to be a parent of a single mother and raise a child, I think that, well, for me, I overcompensated.
Right. That's what
and
she
I provided and I gave things that I didn't have in my household for my son, when in all actuality, he didn't need what I was missing out on. He needed what he needed at the moment.
Exactly.
And like he said, like, I want that relationship. He shared that in the previous episode, that he wanted to build a relationship with his father.
Right.
And, you know, but his father shared with us that he never even met his own father.
Right.
So this is all like
right.
a whole
right. cycle. Then, a whole cycle.
And then, hold, right. let me, this is very important because there may be somebody out there who don't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. Whatever trauma you're going through that you miss with your father or not having a father is a blueprint for you to be a better father when you become a father. So what you're missing is really a blueprint of what not to be like. If your father was there and he was a whatever. You don't let that part of your life say, dang, I'm this way because my father didn't do such and such. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a blueprint for being a better father. Or whatever you felt as though you should have got, you can give. So it's almost an even keel. I hope I'm making it clear and plain that it's an even keel. Even when you're experiencing the trauma relationships or situations, I think the journey of it was meant to make you a better person or make you not like what you've been through. And I took that with me, and I suffer from obsession and compulsion. I want to be the best at this. Tanisha got a little bit of it, but I ain't going to say that. But listen, I overcompensate that, and I need, and one thing you said that was so beautiful, brother, with them young boys, not being able to be scared to ask for help.
Yeah.
Yo, in my hood, listen, young boys, that's a powerful joint. I was taught never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And they only gave me what they thought was good, but it was misinformed information. Never, ever ask for no help. Don't mm-hmm. let nobody know or see you cry. What's wrong with you? Toughen up. All of that almost got me killed because I held stuff in like a time bomb. And due to grace of God, man, he released that cap a little bit. And these young boys, I know I keep going to that, Tanisha. I don't mean to.
No. Listen, I think it's important that you address that, right?
I swear, y'all wasn't here. Maybe y'all see it before. But these young boys, God used them so much to loosen up that garbage. And I'm going to speak for you. Loosen up some of the garbage that me and him had stuffed down so long to where, you know, and I truly, I'm not getting on no religious zeal or nothing, but I see how God used the young to help grow the old and in reverse, you know, but I don't know, man. I hope I answered that question.
I think it's dope, man, that we able to sit here and have these conversations, right, with no shame, man.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lot of things that in our childhood we're not going to talk about. I'm not.
Right, right.
I'm not ready to talk about some of them things.
Right.
Right? Only because I fear that people might look at me different.
You a big teddy bear.
Hey, man.
No, I'm real sad. Hey, I'm a Cancer. Listen, people, I'm a Cancer. My birthday is Thursday. If you want to be generous, cash at me.
We're going to sing happy birthday.
If somebody want to cook some patelillos, I eat that too.
But I say this,
right, that I live a life where I meet a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I know they're not ready.
Right.
For this conversation.
Right.
Right.
You ready.
Right.
They not ready.
Right.
Right. And I don't, you know, if I don't feel comfortable with you, whether right. I know you for 100 years or I just met you, mm-hmm. I'm not going to open up.
Right. And you know what?
Only because I've been incarcerated for most of my life.
Right.
So I deal with trauma. I sit in the dark for hours mm-hmm. in my home, for hours mm-hmm. staring at the wall. My people be like, leave him alone.
Right.
Leave him alone. He's in his zone, right?
Right.
When in reality, I'm like, damn, I wish one of y'all asked me what's wrong.
Right.
I'm serious. But they don't know. So I don't blame them. They don't know.
Right.
You know, like, I constantly got to tell my people, don't let me sit. Don't let me go there. Because if I go there too long, you in trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
You in trouble. Right. So when I said there's a lot of things that I have in me, from childhood, from the relationships that my mother had,
right,
from the way my family treated my mother,
right,
you know, because half of my family is black, Right. The other half looked like white people.
Right.
And
right.
it was like a separation there with the black side of the family.
Right.
You know, all that plays into who I am today.
Right.
Right. right? And a lot of it deals with the trauma that I really don't vibe with my white side of the family.
Right,
right. Right. Even though we blood, I don't vibe with y'all like that.
Right.
And it deals with how I deal with Caucasian people today.
Right.
Like, we all right, but we not. Right. Man, I'm not right. going to hug you. Don't hug me. None of that shit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to fathers, right, I hear you speak and what's going through my mind. I don't know my father. I am a case of a rape. My mother was a victim.
Right.
And she decided to keep the baby, and she produced a Pulitzer Prize winner, you know.
But hey, listen,
joke is on y'all,
right?
Look at
you now. Look at you now. Now, let me.
No, but listen, let me finish this story real quick before I lose it. So when I hear you speak, you know what I'm hearing? Like, then I wish I had a dad that spoke for me like that.
But did you hear me earlier? Look how. See, it's an equalizer in this. And I don't promote religion or none of that. But it is a high power. Mm-hmm. That promotes, even with that being missed in your life. You're a beautiful brother. Let me tell you something about you.
I keep telling y'all.
No, let me say this. I want to say this to you, for real. I feel spirits a mile away. I've been rolled on. I've been to jail. I was the good guy in jail that should have got killed because I took up for young boys. You know, just so they wouldn't get violated in prison. And you know that's a no-no.
Absolutely.
You know that's a no-no. I was one of the ones that did that, right? And when they closed down on me to get me, God released me out of jail right on time. But listen, you are a beautiful brother without a father. Your spirit mm-hmm. generates the room.
Mm-hmm.
With her.
Tanisha.
With Tanisha's information and it's a beautiful mixture. So I say that to say this, bro. Even with you not having that, man, you're a beautiful product of whatever your environment didn't want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying that because one of these young boys need to hear that, and they also need to hear how you cope when you don't want nobody to know what you're going through.
You experiencing the trauma.
At least you said this. You said this, and I quote, and it's asking for help. You told your people what? Don't let me what?
Self-aware.
Don't let me go in that darkness.
Right. That's asking for help, young people.
That's a sign of help.
So if you're in the same category that he's explaining, there's ways to ask for help in silence. He just said when he's like that, he don't tell everybody, and I'm not telling you to open up to everybody. You got to dance with somebody. He said that. He tells his family, mm-hmm. listen, when you see me in that place,
self-awareness,
please mm-hmm. don't let me go too deep.
Yep.
So that's a way to cope with that. Because each one of our experiences, somebody out there living, these ain't unique experiences. We all, in different forms of fashion, experience that. Those three little young boys, these rappers, each one of them got their own divine message.
Mm-hmm.
So the separation is still the comparison that they're promoting good music. So What I really appreciate about this is that it gives me a chance and them to really express some hope, because that's what it's about. It's about hope, especially to we only live this by giving it away,
mm-hmm.
and I thank you for that example because I got grandkids just like that, you know. And to
let me say this too. Well, let me ask you this question. So. I would like to hear a little bit more about your relationship with you and your son. Would you say that y'all had a relationship, or would you just say you was a parent?
Yes. This part is deep because at the time, my son Terlin was the youngest. I spoiled him. I was caught in addiction. So the way I compensated with him, my other children was kind of jealous.
Could you elaborate what you say addiction? What do you mean?
Just hanging out, going to AC, gambling. You know, I thought back in the day, as long as I got them the PlayStation, the sneakers, and this and that, and didn't spend no time with them, that was being a good parent. Now all children want is time. I didn't know that. So with him, I spoiled him. He knew right from wrong. And for him to be the gentleman that he was, man, in spite of how I was just nothing but God's grace, man. Terrell and Bridges, man, you know, we from uptown, everybody know my son, but I would want to say the one regret that I had with him is that
I wish I could have really spent more time in that area letting him know about the loyalty piece. Because I think he took that. I think he took that, Tanisha, and I think he took that and just, it's a painful little joint, man. I hate, but, you know, I heard your son say, man, you know, we never know when God calls our number. So I look at that, and he's in a better place. But I think we had a good relationship, man. And what I try to do now is be there for my daughters, you know. Let me, everyone want to say this.
You got a daughter? You got a daughter?
I got quite a few relatives. All
right, listen at this. Because Tanisha, because she might not, but this is for
I'm on tape, right?
Listen at this. Us as men, right? With daughters, we love them so hard, right? So listen.
We do.
So you know, I had told my daughters, I said, listen.
Mine told me, she texted me, she said, happy birthday, Pop. That means whatever gift you thought you was going to get, I'm going to get. That's what that means.
Now listen, this is a little joke that I told my daughters, right, they pretty and they tall and all that, right? You know, they went through their little womanhood. So I said, listen, babe, y'all can tell me anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm serious. Y'all can rap to me about anything.
You serious?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, so they can't. Tell me everything.
So listen how that backlash went. You know, because I'm calling myself being a open-minded parent. I ain't drinking. I don't smoke weed. I don't do none of that. So I thought I could handle some stuff. You know, come on, bring it to the table. Man, my daughter's got to telling me some stuff. Yo, cuz, I had to.
Yeah.
Look, I'm talking about, man.
Bro, what are you thinking of?
No, but I thought that I could handle, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm glad I didn't say nothing because I don't want to stop the lines of communication. So to parents, you know what I mean? If you're asking for that, right? I made a point with this. If you want to know what's on your children's mind and you're giving them permission to tell you, don't renege when they come in with the truth.
Yeah.
Because some of it, you got to be emotional stable. Thank you, Tanisha. See, listen, when I get hot, I call for, what you say, call for what?
Help. Baby girl, if you listening.
No, but
it's all right. It's all right if you lie to me a little bit. Do not. I don't want detail. I don't want nothing. I got you, sis. I got you, baby girl. I got you. I'm not ready to be like, you know what, Dad? Yeah. I'm not ready for that, man.
I mean,
because I'm a Cancer. In my eyes, my 15-year-old is still a baby.
Right.
I'm like. I'm like, yo, bro.
But you know what?
I'm like, where you going with them shorts? Where you going with that shirt? Like, you bought it. I bought that shit? No. I'm not ready, man.
Listen, they are so much more intelligent than I don't want to cap them up.
No, they are. They are
so much more mature.
Yeah.
I mean.
So I got that track on that phone.
Yeah, I got a tracker on my son's phone, too.
Like, look at your daughter. She playing with a joint. Yeah. And she can listen.
Now, listen to this. Remember, I'm at a period where as though everything I was taught, I don't follow those doctrines anymore.
Right.
So we have conversations, daughter. Me and my son, relationship is so open. Like, he be showing me and telling me stuff. I be like, okay. All right. I remember when the first time we had a conversation, he was like, Mom, I'm ready to be intimate. I was driving on
State Line. Did he use the word intimate?
No.
You know, okay.
I'm just being simple, too.
I was about to say, what school he went to?
No. I know that we got viewers, and, you know, I'm trying to respect the podcast line and the social media line. And I'm driving, and out of nowhere, he just was like, I'm ready to be intimate. And I was like, 1, 2, 3. Because, see, I had to go through parenting classes. Like, I went to parenting classes when I came out of recovery. Well, when I entered into recovery, I made a lot of family support meetings, like parent meetings. Because I had to learn what it was like to be a mom, because I only learned from all those what's those skill sets we learn in the streets? Survival skills. Yeah, I was teaching him like I was taught what I saw from the, you know, the drug dealers and, you know, the people that I hung around with. I was teaching him those type of life skills, but they're not good life skills, especially today. So I'm driving down City Line Avenue. Keon comes out of nowhere. He says to me, he's ready. So I did this 1, 2, 3, because in the training, the parent training, they like, listen, don't show no emotions on your face because it'll shut the child down.
Right,
you know,
right.
Your physical, I'm like, oh. I said, okay. And guess what was all, it was right there where it sits, it's a Ross, it's the KFC. It's another, I think I was
there. You remember the whole shopping mall, huh?
Yeah, the gasoline station that sits on the side. I can't remember the name of this area where I was at, but I pulls into the CVS, because it was a CVS right there. And I pulls into the CVS, and I go, well, let's go into the store. And I'm calm, because remember, they respond off your physical.
Right.
The way that you respond with your voice tone.
Right.
So I said, we're going to go in here. We're going to look at some protection. And we go into the store. We go into the CVS. And he like, Mom, what's this? I said, they're lifesavers. He said, lifesavers? I said, yeah, they're going to save your life. And we had a conversation, and I talked about, like, the lubrication and blah, blah, blah.
Damn,
so we went
on
and on and on. But guess what? That moment really opened up, like, a personal relationship deeper than the communication that we had before. Because now he's coming to me on a very intimate, personal level, asking me advice. He could have went to his homeboy.
No,
he could have just went out and experienced it and learned the hard way, contracted something. But he said, no, Mom, I remember you saying come to you whenever I'm in an area and I want to explore something. So right. That's what I teach my son. You know, that's what I teach both my kids. Like, even when I'm going out and I'm training, or I'm going out and facilitating training and it's involving kids, or, you know, anybody, that any experience that I have, I go out and I share that with the population or the individuals that I'm about to speak to.
Man, listen, this is a wonderful, I think this conversation was way overdue. I mean, yeah, I laugh, but at the same time, it's like, we need more mothers like this in the community, right?
Yes,
mothers.
Yeah.
Listen to the key word.
I don't leave home without my children.
Listen to the key word, right? Listen to the key word. Mothers.
Yeah.
Not mothers trying to be sisters.
Friends.
Exactly.
To their child.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Where we still could have that conversation.
Right.
Where we still could have fun.
Right.
And
right.
at the same time, educate our children.
Right.
Like, yo, you can't do this. You can't do that. You know, this is what this for, this is what that do.
But it took years of trainings, me being open-minded to a whole nother way of living. It took for me to follow a 12-step program, for me to take in certain advice from other people,
right.
You know. And then I was so open-minded, because then I saw everything that they were teaching me. I applied it, and it was working. It was effective. I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm going to put this in this area. I'm going to do this with the parenting. I'm going to be open-minded. And, you know, like I said, and then I started attending other classes and trainings, because I was born and raised in a project. So, and in a project, it's its own community.
Well, I had a project, too.
Yeah, but
with the mindset,
with the mindset of what you're being taught into a project, and it has its own environment, you know?
Like, but it's like I said earlier, when the young brother, Jacob, was sitting here.
And we have resources there. We don't have resources like we do.
Oh, we got a lot of resources. We just don't realize it. When I'm talking about resources, right, I'm talking about, you are a resource.
But I live in Philadelphia now.
I know,
I was born and raised in Chester.
But you are a resource in the house. The fact that you took your son to the store.
Right.
Now that you ready.
Yeah.
Now we need some protection, right?
That was cool.
So what I'm saying,
that
right?
Was cool, yeah.
What I'm saying, like I told Jacob, right? A lot of time we grow up in the projects, messed up homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all we seeing is the aesthetics. Always seen that, oh, this is messed up. You know, our TV, we got to change it with a fork. Y'all might be too young, but I used to change my TV with a fork or a pair of pliers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but
I remember my mom used to let us light her cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's where I started smoking from. She'd be like, light it.
But guess what?
I'll hit the cigarette.
But now that we owed it, we could say those wasn't really bad moments. Yeah. You know why?
There was lessons.
Because if you put me in a house where everything go out, I know how to get some light.
Yeah.
I know how to create light. I know how to. Some of these young kids grow up with phones. That's all they know. They don't know how to survive.
Yeah.
Right? Like I told Jacob, we could come from a household, right, that's all messed up, dysfunctional. But the values
that they
install in you.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care where they come from.
Right.
Or how the house look. Right. You got a set of values.
Right.
That we might not realize when we young that was installed in you, like you take care of your own.
Right.
And that's what make you say, you know what, son? We going to that store.
Right.
My mom was the same way. My mom was like, you already got some. You went out with that pretty girl. You get some. Yeah, how was it? Was it good? I'm like, mom.
You stopped up?
I'm like, mom, please, mom, you're embarrassing me.
That was a form of her knowing what's going on with us.
Right.
But you know what? I'm glad because you opened up one point. And I wish them young boys was here because this is very important. Like we were saying, our values, if we can instill with the knowledge into the youth, just don't lose your values. Like I want to make I wanted them young boys to be here because I wanted them to hear this. The music that they make that come from the heart, you notice how it touches the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got this industry coming up now, right? Yeah. And I want them not to fall for the okie doke. Where they'll come and say, all right, yeah, y'all hot. We want y'all, and I want them to stand on their principle, no, that's not the type of writing we write. You understand? For a dollar. Because that's the next thing. To sell yourself, sell your values for money. Where me and you know money is, come on,
Kyle.
But I tell you what.
You know what I mean? And that's the trick with our youth. We talking about the balance and stuff, but that bag, we need to explain to them. That's just a service. Money is just services of goods and services. So what in the end, when that money run out, that's not going to help your self-esteem. Like you remember some of them athletes that was millionaires. They was almost killing themselves in their mansions because they didn't know that once you get that money, that's nothing.
They say it's lonely.
So that's one for y'all to do a podcast on that because. It's one thing to strive.
I mean, that's why you here, brother.
Yeah.
Let me be clear, right?
It's us.
Tanisha is a genius. She know it. Smile, please.
I'm smiling.
Smile. She's a genius. I'm going to tell you why she's a genius, people. Because she brought this brother here. Like, I want you to be on our podcast. This man just really bought himself a podcast. Don't even know it yet, right? Real man's talk.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And the conversation we have, it's a conversation that's needed more often.
Yeah.
Because often we hear a mother speaking.
And she said that last. We hear
a mother speaking, right? And although I appreciate what she did, took her son to the store and did this, you know what? That's our job. That's the man's job. Yeah, it is. I love it.
That. When my daughter say something, she tell me something. I'm like, all right, baby, let me go buy you some shit. What size is your shoe? Just get that breather.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, girls don't want you to buy them clothes and shoes.
Let me say this too.
But let me finish this. Right. Although you did that, I still said, that's our job. That's our job. And the reason a lot of us ain't stepping up, and I'm just talking general. It's because we don't see a lot of people like us having these conversations.
Yeah, they're uncomfortable conversations.
It is uncomfortable. You know why it's uncomfortable? Because it's the truth.
Because we've been indoctrinated.
Indoctrinated. Right? But when you
by our parents on what their belief. Shout out to my mom, Darlene Palmer, because I never want her to feel like she always say, "You always mention your father." And I do always mention my father because I remember my father, our relationship was built so strong over the times when I really needed him, you know. But my mom did the best she could.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I never want to not.
Shout out, mom. Shout out.
Shout out, mom.
But even though she had, you know, she had those challenges with the person that she chose to be with at that time.
Right.
We was never hurt. We always stayed dressed nice.
Right.
You know, like, she kept us, like, when them lights go out, you better hit this block.
Right.
You know, right. So she instilled in us certain things, certain values as well that was good values as well. Right. You know,
and you passing that on to your children.
I did. It's just that I expanded it because now I know, like, not only did I teach Keon about protecting himself and just that momentary moment could cost you your life when you're in a moment being intimate with someone. I also took him to places and certain meetings where as though we met individuals when I attended trainings about sexual education so I could be able to teach other kids. I took him down to Philly Fight. So he was able to meet people, young people that was that had contracted HIV. Or immune deficiency disorder diseases due to trusting. Remember right. that loyalty, being able to be in a relationship and just saying, oh, I trust you so soon, not really even knowing what if a relationship is based and how it's a foundation that comes with a relationship. And, you know, right. and if you ain't got that foundation, if that foundation is not there and you just meeting a person and trusting them off of a word, your word ain't your loyalty. And that's what we're talking about today.
Oh, say that again.
Your word. It got to be more than just a word being built on
your word is
loyalty.
Ain't your loyalty?
It's not about your word no more. It's about your actions.
Right.
Right.
What is that foundation? What is that? What are you laying there?
Right.
Let me see you. What it's like when this times is hard. When I don't have. What is it like when I'm just not just showing my physical? Like my right. like Keon said. When it's just not about the physical appearance. When I get old, like what is about when I can't? When a male can't. You know, perform. Arise and perform right. in a sexual manner. Are you still going to be there with
right.
me? So
right.
you need to see that person on every season before you just lay down and open yourself up to that person and not know, really know. You got to do a criminal background check.
Hello.
Do it all.
That's another joke, listen, yo.
Listen.
I'm off the market, girls. I got long record.
This is but, for males. Y'all heard
me
just, this.
Let me tell you what I teach my son.
And
I say, son, his girlfriend, listen, when you before they even did anything, I said, you need to do what I teach you. I get tested. No, I'm not a person that identifies as sexual with an HIV or none of that. However, I educate my son. So my son got tested. My son's girlfriend got tested. Like, that's something that's very important. You know what I'm saying? Like, get your stuff. Know your status. Health is your wealth. Education is a foundation. Because as long as you're educated and you're aware of what could be the possible consequences behind any actions that you may make a decision to entertain, that's a strong foundation.
And with that said,
ladies and gentlemen,
we have to close. I promise you, this episode will have a part two. I promise you.
We gotta revisit this.
It's gonna have a part two. So please,
Anthony leaves,
I'm begging you. No, let me beg first.
Okay, go ahead.
I ain't too proud of bed.
That's right. We asked for help.
Go. We asked for help around here.
Spotify. Or anywhere you listen to your podcast. Truth Crime, True Story Network. Hit that subscribe and like button.
And like
in the eyes of a grieving mother.
Before we let y'all go, Anthony, if it was something that you, it was some type of something inspirational, or if someone right now had a father, we're going to focus on the men.
Mm-hmm.
If a man today have went through any type of sexual assault, if they lost a child, if they went through any type of substance use, or they're in recovery, what would you look at this camera and what would you say to that individual today to help them get to a place of serene?
You got a minute.
Be honest about how you feel, number one. Like me and like we were talking about, don't be afraid to ask for help. There's people like me who I know a lot of times y'all just want to hear from people that been through what you're going through. You can identify with somebody. Anybody, if you ask for help, God will lead you to the help. But mainly, don't act like what you're feeling is something crazy about you. All of us got feelings. So just reach out and ask for help. My thing is just to help, man. When you ask for it, the teacher will appear. So with that, I hope I got your answer.
Good grief.
And the eyes of a grieving mother.
One love.